Welcome to Narratives. In this instalment, John Newton reads from his book, The Oldest Foods on Earth. John makes a case for greater adoption of native foods into our everyday cuisine and suggests a new national day for Australia where we sit down together and share the food of the first inhabitants.
I've called this reading A Modest Proposal for January 26. At the head of the last chapter in the book, I quote Bruce Pascoe from his book, Dark Emu. Having said sorry, we refuse to say thanks. And there is the germ of an idea. But first, let's take a quick look at the way first contacts with Indigenous people happened in America and in Australia. On the last Thursday in November each year, Americans of all ethnic backgrounds, colours and religions gather in their family homes to eat a ritual meal, comprising a mix of Native American, European and latterly ingredients from their own food cultures. This is a feast whose roots can be found in an expression of joy at bringing in the first harvest in a new land, but which transformed into a celebration of the idea of America. The first of these meals took place in 1621 in the company of Native Americans. At the centre of this national feast was and is the turkey. In her chapter, The Invention of Thanksgiving, A Ritual of American Nationality, Janet Siskind says that more than just a part of the wilderness that had been civilised, the Thanksgiving turkey powerfully symbolises the Indians. Other native foods at the table were, and still are, pumpkins and cranberries, and recipes for which appeared in the first American cookbook, published in 1796, and barberries. By contrast, at the first meal shared between the colonisers of Australia and an Indigenous inhabitant, Arapanu, that man was kidnapped. He was captured at Manly Cove, where, according to Watkin Tench, several Indigenous men were seen standing on the beach. They were enticed by courteous behaviour and a few presents to enter into conversation. Once the group approached, our soldiers rushed in amongst them and seized two men. But only one, Arapanu, was secured. He was fastened by ropes to the boat, where he set up the most piercing and lamentable cries of distress. After being offered some fish, he sullenly submitted to his destiny, which was to be taken by force to the governor's residence. The captured man was taken to a side table at the governor's residence, not the main table, and according to Tench, ate heartily of fish and ducks which he first cooled. He smelled at the bread and salt meat, but wouldn't eat it, and would drink nothing but water, disdaining the liquors offered him. The contrast could not be greater, both on and around the tables. Now, back to my idea. In writing this book, I came across one author, Laklak Budawanga, who also credits her family, and whose book Welcome to My Country, although sold as a children's book, is a book for all ages. In it, she tells the story of the life she and her family live in northeast Arnhem Land. Laklak is of the Yolngu people. At the end of the book, she writes, "When my grandmothers collected food, they saved it in a basket and shared it. Now, we are putting our knowledge in a basket and we share it, mother to grandchildren, and now you have to share it with your family." I'm attempting with this book to share the food that non-Indigenous Australians have turned their backs on for so many years. And here at the end, I would like to make a proposal. Australia Day on 26th January celebrates the day Captain Phillip raised the English flag at Sydney Cove. It continues a contentious day. Some even call it Invasion Day. I would like to suggest that we celebrate the day in our cities and towns with a meal of native Australian foods shared between Europeans and Aboriginal Australians. To take up Pascoe's suggestion, the meal will be giving thanks to the Indigenous inhabitants for caring for the country and, admittedly belatedly, showing us the foods of the land. How this will be achieved and who will organise it would need to be carefully worked out. The obvious organisers would be the various Australia Day committees in conjunction with a group called ANFL, who are the peak body of native food producers. But this would, I believe, entirely change the meaning of Australia Day. We might even change the name. How about Together Day? But one thing at a time. First, sharing a meal. It's never too late. As I wrote in the introduction, non-Indigenous Australians must accept that the original inhabitants have carefully stewarded this land for the entire time they have lived here and have the oldest unbroken culture in the world before racism, culinary and otherwise, will disappear. At the end of The Biggest Estate on Earth, Bill Gammage writes, "We have a continent to learn. If we are to survive, let alone feel at home, we must begin to understand our country. If we succeed, one day we might become Australian."
You have been listening to John Newton reading from his book, The Oldest Foods on Earth. You can hear John read again at thenarrativeslibrary.com and hear an interview with John at artscanvas.com/blog. Narratives is produced by Karina Wynne-Moylan, Bay FM 99.9 for the Community Broadcasting Network.